by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, and no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass makes heaven the middle of it. Grass makes heaven the middle. We are grass makes heaven.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a lot to cover this week, but we're going to start off with an interview that Greg Jarrett had with Devin Nunes, and they're talking about what's going on in the Kleinsmith case and a plethora of other issues and topics and cases. So here we go now with this interview.
Let's welcome House Intelligence Committee Ranking Member Devin Nunes. Congressman, great to see you as always. Is the president right? This indictment is just the beginning?
Well, look, it should be, Greg. You're one of the aficionados on this. You've wrote a best-selling book on it. Of course, I ran the initial investigation that unearthed all this. It would be hard for me to believe that more people didn't know about this. And if you read closely as to what Kleinsmith said, it was after this indictment, he said that he had turned over this information to other people within DOJ and FBI. If that is the case, that means a whole bunch of other people knew about this Kleinsmith information. Of course, this was hidden not just from the American people, but also from the United States Congress and myself, who was doing and conducting this investigation. We would have loved to have had this several years ago. This indictment is a long time coming. It's a bad day for the FBI, but I think it's good for America ultimately to have an FBI and a DOJ that's on the process at the beginning stages of being cleaned up.
I was amused by Kleinsmith's lawyers' rationalization. He said, gosh golly gee, this is just a benign mistake on my client's part. But he was really trying to clarify information. No, Congressman, when you falsify a document, when you change the language that originally said Carter Page is a CIA asset into he's not a CIA asset, what you're really doing is turning exculpatory information into inculpatory information. That's not benign, that's corrupt. Would you agree?
Yeah, very much so. And I also want to remind the viewers out there tonight that this was also the French-speaking FBI lawyer. You may remember from the text messages that we unearthed, this was the person who said, "Vive la résistance." So, and that was in response to a question about whether or not he was going to leave the FBI after President Trump had been elected. So he knowingly and willingly had a motive here. It was in his text messages. And look, just to scare the hell out of everybody, this guy also ended up on the Mueller team, which the irony tonight that many of the people on that failed Mueller team that wasted $40 million of U.S. taxpayer money, the irony is that they're out tweeting in terms of that Kleinsmith really didn't do anything wrong. I'm just paraphrasing. But the bottom line here is that this person had an axe to grind with the incoming president of the United States, later became the president. And it's just wrong, French-speaking or not.
You know, the other thing I learned from reading several pages of the indictment today is that Comey didn't even ask Kleinsmith to find out from the CIA whether Carter Page was an asset or not until 9 months after the first FISA warrant. And yet, Comey already knew that Page was an asset of the CIA. How do we know that? Carter Page, before the first FISA warrant application, sent Comey a direct letter that said, "Hey, I work for the CIA. I'm not a Russian spy." How do I know that? Because he gave me a copy of that letter. It's in both my books. And it's also a part of his congressional testimony, you'll recall. So isn't it true that James Comey concealed this information from the FISA court and perpetrated a fraud when he signed the FISA warrants?
Yeah, I think very much so. But don't forget, Greg, and I know you know this too, but just to add insult to injury here, they also used Carter Page, the FBI and the Department of Justice used his information as a source, back in, I think, 2014. So they knew that that Carter Page, you know, who graduated Naval Academy, they knew that this guy was no threat to America, and there was never any reason to put him under a surveillance warrant. The whole reason was to spy on the Trump campaign, which we now know.
And in fact, he had helped the Department of Justice prosecute Russians, for goodness sakes.
That's
Comey
right.
knew that.
Yeah.
McCabe knew that. They all knew that at the FBI. They didn't care. Here's what Attorney General Barr told NBC News in a recent interview. Let's put it up on the screen. This is a quote. I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely fanned and hyped by a completely irresponsible press. I think there were gross abuses and an inexplicable behavior that is intolerable in the FBI. Congressman, who else should Durham be looking at here?
Well, look, Kim, we've made 14 criminal referrals in our exhaustive 3.5-year investigation. And so there's plenty to look at here. That's why it's not just John Durham. There's one U.S. attorney that's kind of got the lead on this, but there's also at least two other U.S. attorneys, including one out of Texas and one out of Missouri, who are also looking at different aspects of the broader Russian hoax, including looking at the Mueller team, specifically at the Flynn prosecution, which is very problematic at best.
You know, Congressman, so much of the collusion narrative was based on the dossier. And yet we now know that the FBI, the very month Trump was sworn in, January of 2017, debunked and discredited. And yet the next year, 2018, the FBI goes to the Senate Intel Committee and says, oh, gosh, the dossier is absolutely credible. Christopher Steele, the author, is reliable. The source information is verified. All of that was a lie by the FBI. Isn't lying to Congress a crime?
Look, this is why the current FBI is not clean, and they still have to give us answers, because we ask those same questions, House Republicans. We ask those very questions. And we are very frustrated that, you know, no one has come forward to say, hey, look, we got it wrong. If you remember when I put out the memo that first exposed a lot of this, you know, it was the current FBI leadership, actually. It wasn't Comey. It was the current leadership who made, let's just say, disparaging comments about how I think that we were going to wreck and cause problems within the FBI. I'm paraphrasing once again. But that's just wrong. And the FBI leadership needs to come forward and say, look, you know, at least apologize, you know, and I don't understand I need an apology, but I think the American people need an apology because it looks like even the current leadership ran interference on the dirty cops' behalf, who were really just working ultimately. Greg, don't forget this. Oh, you always have to bring it back to this. This was a Clinton campaign Democratic National Committee dossier that dirtied up Carter Page and everybody else. And it was the dirty cops who they somehow convinced to open up an investigation into their political opponent and leaked that information illegally.
Yeah. I mean, it was Hillary Clinton and Democrats that actually colluded with a foreign nation for Russian disinformation. And yet Bob Mueller never looked into that. Congressman Devin Nunes, thanks very much. And
my pleasure,
be sure to check out the congressman's upcoming book, The Countdown to Socialism. Devin Nunes.
Everyone that's been investigating this, Devin Nunes and Greg Jarrett's written two or three books on the subject, are getting frustrated about Barr not coming forward with any kind of indictment. Problem at this time. And so, you know, you can see the people, the frustration in these interviews now. So it's not looking good. But next we have Tom Fenton being interviewed by Lou Dobbs, and they're talking about a recent decision that favored Hillary Clinton, where she doesn't have to testify about her emails or anything else. So they just absolved her of having to do a deposition whatsoever. So here we go with that right now. Here we go next.
Today, a three-judge panel on the D.C. Court of Appeals ruled against Judicial Watch and for Hillary Clinton. The panel overturned a lower court order requiring Clinton to testify under oath about her private email server and Benghazi. Two Obama-appointed judges and one George W. Bush-appointed judge made up the panel. Here to take it up is the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton. Well, Tom, you've been fighting a tough battle throughout, and I just you can't have been shocked with those odds that you would prevail. Your reaction tonight?
Well, it's frustrating, obviously. We're thinking of how we can appeal or whether we can appeal. But look, I mean, you had the court here grant her mandamus relief, which is what they're so hesitant to grant General Flynn. She ran the agency. She hid her emails. She took them and then deleted them. The court wanted to know what was going on. What was the court being gamed? Where were the documents? What was she thinking? And you had the appellate court really upend the rule of law on both FOIA and mandamus, which supposedly is supposed to be only rarely invoked. I mean, they essentially said she has an indisputable right not to testify. Indisputable. And on top of that, they throw back at us all the arguments that the Justice Department and the State Department have made. And frankly, Attorney General Barr and Secretary Pompeo are partly responsible for this adverse result because their agencies have been defending her in the lower courts repeatedly and trying to stop our discovery, and the court used that against us. Terrible, terrible outcome, but we'll see if we can appeal it.
Why would you not be able to appeal it? It's a corrupt judiciary. Even the higher courts have to acknowledge that. And you have Obama judges outnumbering the George W. Bush, which is, by the way, a 3-0 bias, it would seem to me.
Yeah, well, you know, the lawyers have to look at it and figure out whether we can appeal legally. You can imagine what I'd like to do, but we'll do what we need to do in order to hold Mrs. Clinton accountable under the law and hold the State Department accountable under law. You know, right now, by the way, Lou, it's still happening. The attorneys at the Justice Department are colluding with Hillary Clinton's attorneys. It happens. They're fighting us together. It's incredible, and it's a betrayal of everyone who expected law and order from this new Justice Department.
Well, what is William Barr doing about it?
Nothing.
I have never seen such nonverbal communication from you before, but every bit is eloquent, I assure you. Let's turn to Kleinsmith, the positive side of an attorney general who's taken over and has produced a result.
That's
it's
right.
Late. It is also not at the level that any of us would want, but it is a beginning. Your thoughts?
Well, obviously, it's not sufficient. Certainly, it was necessary. It's overdue, as you point out. But it's confirmation that Obamagate's a crime. Carter Page is a victim of a crime. President Trump is a crime victim. Because remember, this isn't really about Carter Page, although he's obviously the victim and his rights were violated. This is about getting a way to spy on the Trump team. So President Trump had his civil rights violated as well.
Well, It's also an interesting cross current here with Crossfire Hurricane and the Obamagate and its origins and the attack on General Flynn. This is a mess that was stewed up by, we now know, certainly August of 2016, and one suspects even earlier than that, right?
That's exactly right, and we have confirmation that many others than this lawyer knew that there were lies being told to the court. And remember, the FISA wasn't the only way to spy on Trump. You had Comey personally spying on Trump in those meetings. You had the spying during the campaign. When Comey went to visit the president about the dossier, the president-elect, that was a spy operation. He had talked about that meeting with Barack Obama and Joe Biden the day before in the Oval Office. So if there's going to be sufficient justice here, in the least, Obama, Biden, and Hillary Clinton, who's behind this all, and this is, goes back to the earlier story, all need to be questioned by the Justice Department as opposed to being protected.
Well, explain to me this. Why aren't we at least hearing some evidence of energy behind an investigation of Fusion GPS? Why don't we know more about those entities in London, whether they're Stefan Halper, whomever it may be? What happened to the Australian ambassador? You start stepping back over time, and it's still frayed, it's disparate, and the fact of the matter is there doesn't appear to be great concentration on what has to be the leadership of this conspiracy. In fact, we've heard people verbalize the fact that they're not interested in Obama, they're not interested in Biden, yet we know full well both of those two people were involved in conversations about the origins of Obamagate and its direction.
I fear this may be the only prosecution, Lou. I maybe Strzok gets prosecuted, I don't know. Maybe McCabe, I don't know, but I'm not seeing any evidence they focused on them. All of what you're asking about, we're going to get in the report, and that's supposed to be sufficient. It isn't sufficient for me. We didn't hire Durham to write a report. We hired him to prosecute people and seriously investigate them. It's one thing to make a decision not to prosecute after you haul everyone before a grand jury and hold them accountable and make it clear that you're serious about it. It's another thing to do this review that happens to turn into a criminal investigation after the IG forces your hand and then end with one prosecution or plea agreement with someone who they had dead to rights almost over a half a year ago.
Well, the president still has, it is obvious, considerable confidence in William Barr. Therefore, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and we just will see what we see. All that's riding on this is the future of this constitutional republic of ours. Tom Fitton, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Coming up next is an interview that Tory says had with Alex Jones. It had to do with a film that's just been released yesterday by Millie Weaver, okay? And it's What They Don't Want Us to See, I believe is the name of it. But you can find it at Tory's. If you go to YouTube and go to Tory Says, S-A-Y-S, to her site there on YouTube, you'll find that What They Don't Want Us to Know or What to See. And you'll find that production right there. So anyway, this is an interview that Alex Jones had with Tory yesterday on Friday, the 14th, about the arrest of Millie Weaver and so forth. And she's been arrested along with her husband up in Ohio, and it has a lot to do with this film that they just released. But you can see it by going into the YouTube to Tory Says, T-O-R-E, two words, S-A-Y-S, and then clicking off on that, What They Don't Want You to See. So anyway, go in there and look at that. But this is yesterday's, you could say, conversation that Alex had with Tory. Here we go now.
We're not going to get into her last name. She's been on the show before. Tory, you were on the live stream. You're live streaming now, and all this began to happen. I know that you guys were finished the film now, finally, today. I was told... Shadow Gate, and obviously that's probably why this happened. Thanks for joining us. I know this is a hectic situation. Tell us why you think this is unfolding.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that we were having problems, from what I gather, Millie was having problems parsing the video together, and her internet connection was extremely slow. And so it was very difficult for her to even put it together.
Sure, so, obviously everything's under surveillance. So you guys were about to release this. What do you think's going on?
Well, you know, they know that we don't have possession of Hillary's emails. So this is just them trying to get information. I mean, burglary? Come on, Alex. Why would Millie commit burglary? This is insane. This is a facade. This is insane. They just came to her house, knocked. What grand jury? Who brought that up?
To be clear, you guys know where the emails are. You're exposing the holes that Brennan and Clapper left in there.
Well, yeah, and how the whole dossier is to cover up their real crimes. The dossier was a two-pronged thing. It was a weapon to use against Trump if she won, so they can round up every single patriot. And it was insurance to make sure if he did get elected that they would take him down as an asset. The dossier was completely fabricated to hide.
I understand, and you're a lady that's exposed the Kentucky election fraud, major big national stories. You've been on the inside. You don't even want to say your last name at this point, but you've been on before. I know who you are. We're going to go to break, continue with your stream, and when we come back to just to talk about, is the film, I was told it was finally ready today, is the film, obviously this is about Shadowgate, what are they so scared of in Shadowgate? Well, folks, it's on record. Obama and Brennan and Clapper still run the propaganda engines inside the CIA and NSA that allow them to have control of the media. That's how they put out the talking points. And I've been begging Trump to shut this down, and this film would expose it. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with this insider, Tori. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones. You want to tell people tune in right now? Well, I come to you with very serious news. Alex Jones here back live. For a year, Millie Weaver and her husband, Gavin Wentz, have been working on this ShadowNet story and a film, Shadowgate. And ShadowNet is one of the tools you know about from Snowden and others, that Operation Mockingbird 2.0, where the CIA and the deep state, the State Department, can program every major TV, radio station, newspaper. I mean, it's hiding in plain view. You can type in and pull up the old articles from 4 years ago. Obama created Ministry of Truth, Countering Foreign Disinformation Propaganda Act, 2017. We signed it in December of 2016, right before he left, but it was funding for the next year. A lot of that funding ran out about a year ago, but they're still in control of it. So they can go in and type in whatever story they want. That will then be picked up by the editors, who will then have their reporters rewrite it under national security. And not most reporters and newspapers don't even know about this, but if you're a big newspaper, let's say with 300 people working in it, five of them are really working for the CIA, okay? And of course I've been approached by all that. And even if you say no to it, it's just like, it just comes around you. There's, you know, the more prominent you are, there's factions and it's all cloak and dagger. InfoWars is truly independent and has never been part of any of this. But it doesn't matter. At a certain point, you know, I get stuff from the most wild stuff you can imagine. There's a real war on the government, and it's coming to a head right now. And they talked to major, major whistleblowers. And the film was going to come out today. They wanted to get it out yesterday. They were behind. And I told them to take their time, you know, because I thought, you know, they needed to vet it and everything. And boom, she just got arrested along with her husband at their house in Ohio. So this is a big deal. So, Tori, you got the floor here for the next few segments. I really appreciate you. You were working some with them and co-hosting with her a lot. You've been a guest many times. We're not even saying your last name today. People can figure out who you are. But give us the gestalt, the boil down of what's currently happening and how big this film is, and them calling it theft. Well, then Daniel Ellsberg didn't go to prison. Since when do whistleblowers and journalists that expose corruption and expose Obama still spying on Trump and Obama, that's who really runs it, still in control of these propaganda arms that should be dismantled, much less not in a president out of power's control? That's what all of this is about, is the illegal spying on the American people and the monitoring us and brainwashing us. So it's a multi-headed hydra here. Lay it out for us.
So when have you ever seen a grand jury come back with burglary? But let's be honest. You know Millie very well. What kind of burglary warrants a grand jury?
Well, no, clearly they're saying it's like the saying that burglary with the plumbers and Nixon. They're saying they're saying she has stolen files.
Well, I don't know what they're saying. They're not saying anything. That's the problem. And right now, while I'm talking to you, I'm trying to make sure that I can send someone there. We need to send her an attorney. We need to make sure she's covered. They're coming in for more people now, apparently, to extend it. So this is a problem.
Absolutely. But tell folks where she is, specifically the town, who picked, and then let's talk about what's in the film that's got, because obviously it has to do with the film to be released with the whole Shadowgate situation. What in the film, because I know you guys interviewed, you were involved in it, some big NSA whistleblowers.
Well, okay, so this film pretty much lays it out and lets people see things for the way they are, for how it actually is and what is really going on. You know, I think the former contractor that actually created ShadowNet is in your neighborhood, Alex. I think he's there. It's crazy. Oh my gosh. I'm lost for words because there's nothing that they can explain this. Who is the U.S. attorney that did this? I want their name. I want to see what they've been doing and who did this. Well, under what pretense? Who put that in there? Under grand jury? Are we kidding? Who's the U.S. attorney? That's what we need to look at. Who this U.S. attorney is. Who their name, who did it, because you know they're coming for Millie because she's got the goods. She broke it on the organized cities on what is it called? I can't even find my words, Alex. I'm so flustered right now because it was unexpected and we knew that their internet connection was being throttled and it barely came through on my end using a drop link. So the movie hasn't even been uploaded by Millie yet. It's a good thing I seeded it myself. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Well,
I don't know what.
Again, they don't want this out. They want to make her and others Julian Assange 2.0. You know, the trailer's been out for months. You're covering something that's a known project. You're just showing that Brennan and Clapper and Obama and Hillary are still in control of it. You guys deserve medals here. So I think they've really. Of course, they could also try to set you guys up with something else. There's no telling what they're going to pull. What do you think is going to happen next?
Well, let me tell you something, Alex. With this system, they manufacture evidence. You know how Kleinsmith pled guilty today, right? That's just the cherry on top. They can retroactively manufacture things to just paint whatever picture they want of you. That's how powerful they are. It's not only that they guide what you can see, what information you have access to, but, you know, if I have access to it, Alex, I could change your record. I can put some stuff in there from 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
No, they already planted child porn right after they sued me. They already planted child porn and then got it, had it hidden, and then said we sent them child porn. I mean, that's how heavy these people are.
Yeah, they'll plant anything just for their narrative, but I'm shocked. I am shocked. They came after her when they knew she was releasing it today, Alex. They knew that she was uploading it, Alex, and they came today. Not yesterday, today.
Well, I know that she was really flustered trying to get it out. I told her to relax about it, and I asked her what was in it, and basically she just basically said the same thing you laid out here. I think they really miscalculated doing this. But, again, the local grand jury doesn't know. They're being told, like you said, by some assistant U.S. attorney, whatever made-up crap, that they've been shoveled.
And that's the thing. How do we see the facts? How do they come in, you know, and how does it go?
I told listeners this, and I see this stuff online. Like, oh, Jones being dramatic. Look, they got grand juries out on me. I'm not going to get into it, but this is what's going on. This is America, okay? We're in a civil war, people. They officially in the city council budget want to blow up the police station, okay? This is a communist takeover. And people keep thinking, oh, we'll beat them. Oh, they're not that powerful. BS, folks, because we lay down. But you and Millie haven't laid down. And so now I guess you expect them to try to come arrest you now.
Yeah, I would think they'd come for Bergie first. For me, it's a little bit more difficult because they're kind of concerned of what insurance I might have. So, you know, they'll come for anyone. Alex, they might come for you, too. Do you have the link to it? Who knows? Who knows what they're going to come for? That's the way it is. They can do whatever they want. And this is they need to know this is a Trump administration and stuff like this doesn't fly because this will be.
Oh, listen, I've talked to high level Trump people and I try to explain it to the president. And he's like, yes, I know they've got people still inside. And I go, no, they've got back doors. Talk to William Binney. Well, he did then meet Binney after I asked him to. And I'm not trying to brag here. I'm just making these common sense connections. The former technical head of the NSA. And so Trump's tried to get – here's the problem. They built it, as you know, where it's always got holes. You have to scrap the whole system. Even if they know there's holes, they can't get rid of it. So it's designed so all these bureaucrats, what, 800,000 of them that are out of office now can still go in. Can you imagine that? They can go into your laptop. They can turn on your iPhone. They can watch you. They can plant stuff. It's unbelievable. And then they've got relationships with big tech to get into all your private stuff there. And that's what you guys were exposing, correct?
Yes, and you know, people need to understand that people like Patrick Bergey and myself aren't afforded whistleblower protections because we are contractors. We're not afforded. And I remember when I saw Patrick Bergey file his complaint to the IG, I was thinking, oh, poor guy, he thinks he's protected. They do that on purpose. They do all their dirty work with contractors constantly, again and again and again.
By the way, he was in town wanting to come here and get on the show yesterday, and I was waiting for Millie, you know, to tell me to pull the trigger, so... A lot of crazy stuff going on. Wow. So do we know where she's being held? I know the paperwork supposedly said nothing.
Well, right now I'm going to take care of her children because I'm a mother too. So I'm going to take care of her children and then focus on getting her an attorney out there. So that way, that's taken care of. I mean, they're smart, so they know not to talk. So, it's a pretty big deal. And, I'll keep you informed. I'll text you guys and tell you what's going on.
Yeah, this is a woman, a mother, a filmmaker with a good record. Everybody knows Millie Weaver, Millennium Millie. She's been doing reports for us as a contractor 8 years. And now they've been arrested in front of her children for trying to expose Brendan and Clapper and their criminal activity. It's just unbelievable.
It is. And, you know, that's the thing. When you give real news, they don't want it. All the mainstream media is corrupt. They're funded by interest. People like you and Millie, myself, all funded by the people, not by any interests. And they hate that because that's where the truth comes out. And this is the problem. She's not controlled by anyone except for her moral compass. This is why they came after Roger Stone, too, because he's a good guy. He follows a moral compass. He's loyal. Good people are always attacked. And, you know, this was very surprising to see. Very surprising to see. You know, if anything, I would have assumed that they'd, you know, try to bash the door down on Bergey. But the timing is just incredible, Alex. She was seeding the file. They were seeding the file. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Stay there. Well, they waited till she did that to charge her. All right, we are back. We are talking to a lady who is really a whistleblower and been on the inside and been working with Millie Weaver on a lot of big election fraud stories, you name it. So, Tori, what else should people know about her getting arrested earlier today? What they're saying is happening, a grand jury right as she was uploading the film Shadowgate. And what can you tell us is in the film Shadowgate? Because I've only seen the trailer. I haven't seen it.
So there's a lot in there, and I will send you the seed file if you like, Alex. I'll email it to you so you can download it. It pretty much has public available information. So she didn't use any information other than the words of the creator of ShadowNet and myself, and using publicly sourced documents to demonstrate what is being said and how it's being done. So that is what's there, but it lays it out so easily that there is no shadow of doubt in anybody's mind that the Russia hoax was one of the biggest hoaxes ever. And they keep hoaxing people from the right and the left. The right and the left are being hoaxed constantly from both sides. I mean, they have to have, you know, their buffers. They control every single narrative, Alex. Either it's coming from the right, the left, they control everything. There is not one thing they do not control. Not one. So if you see people talking and they're saying great things, that's because they were allowed to say great things. If you see people saying bad things, that's because they were told to. 4 a.m., 3 a.m., whatever you want to call them.
But you're talking about a mainstream media. There's lots of independent real media. That's why they're so upset.
Exactly. And there are 4 a.m., 3 a.m. drops for both sides of the fence, you know, and I watch both of them, too. So they're that dumb. And the thing is, people have grown to trust some of this media that has, you know, risen up throughout all of this. And they're nothing but another, internet activity. Oh, my gosh, I'm so flustered. We got taken care of her kids. Now I need to send her a lawyer. This is ridiculous. And I'm hoping that you'll have Patrick Bergey on there and I can send you the whole video. It's about an hour and 30 minutes. It is the most incredible thing you'll see, because then everything makes sense. Suddenly everything is going to make sense to you on how all these operations were carried out, how they were able to get away with these things. That's the thing, because everybody's been duped, and we let them. We let them. We elected them. We voluntarily gave them permission to be our news. Nobody did anything. The interactive internet activities that you see are nothing. They're psyops on both sides of the fence. They're hijacking everyone, and people are going to start to see how this has happened. And right now, all this talk of Russia dossier makes me sick to my stomach, because they all know that the Russia dossier was simply a cover-up for the real crimes, which was the over-collection of the 702s. Remember, Alex, the judge, the FISA judge that signed the Carter Page warrant, right? 3 weeks before she signed it, she was spanking them and John Carlin for over-collection from the NSA, right?
Sure, she was just covering her butt.
Yeah, but she told them that they're not allowed to spy on them, and then 3 weeks later signs a FISA warrant knowing that it was based on the stuff she told them they're not supposed to do.
Oh, I know, and that's why they then used the inspector general of the courts to come out and say it was all illegal. And it was William Binney called us and pointed out that so-called Nunes memo that didn't come out for a year later was already out, and it was actually the court saying that. That's why, Nunes says it's in the news today. Obama knew they were spying on Trump. He ordered it. Brennan and Clapper have gone on TV and said that.
Alex, I heard them. I had access to Brennan's back-end server for forever and a day. I listened to every single conversation. I listened to them plot the Ukraine at the Munich conference with Biden in 2019. I was listening.
No, I know. We've had you on before, and I know you're for real. So when we come back, spill your guts. That's what they don't want. Tell people what you heard Brennan do. The White House is going to hear this, and Trump needs to take control of this damn thing right now. You want to win the election, I mean, don't use it for propaganda. Shut it off. Shut it off, shut it off, shut it off. The only way to stop it, shut it off. Just got back doors all over it. The only way you get rid of it is burning it down. I don't mean that literally. Burn it down. Delete the program. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. Stay with us. I am your host, Alex Jones, and I want to roll that trailer here for the film Shadowgate. And Shadowgate is the gate of all gates. It's the gate of the private NSA corporations, big tech, with a seamless global AI grid, spying on everyone, but also manipulating everyone and deciding what information to promote and what information not to promote. And I know who Tori is. I know that she's exposed incredible election fraud and the 80-something thousand, and they found even more in Kentucky, of people that never lived in Kentucky, or Republicans on the Democrat voting rolls, and then they voted in their names. She's a great lady, done a great job. And, you know, when I saw in the last few years who Millie Weaver and her husband were working with and some of the people, I was like, look, you're in really deep in cloak and dagger stuff. And I said, I personally have decided not to be involved in this and to just analyze news and cover it and to not get around this because, I mean, it was, you know, I mean, we had an event in D.C. and it was crawling with not the fake spies. Okay. I mean, those real Green Beret officers, people all over the place. Ridiculous. Okay. And all sorts of factions and the whole nine yards. And I warned Millie, and Millie's a hero and so is her husband. But I said, you guys are in over your head. And I said, you know, you're contractors, you're doing your own deal. But I just said, you need to just give this to the White House. And Millie's been to the White House, and they gave them the stuff, too. And I'm not going to get into that. In fact, I'm not supposed to get into that, all of that. This country's fighting for its life. That's all I can tell you. And it's going to be people like Millie that save the country if we're able to save it. But I just look at the men of this country sitting there doing nothing. I mean, I talked to a lot of these guys. I talked to a guy that was, like, number three in Dine Corps a few months ago. He's like, well, I'm the man in the shadows, and I got to be the gray man because, you know, the public's just too weak for this, and I wish we could turn it around. We probably can't. And maybe he's right, but man, with the men who've been in all this combat and all this stuff, but they're morally scared, and they go, well, I got a couple daughters in college. There's not going to be any damn colleges this keeps going on. I mean, it gets to a point where you don't do anything so long, it all collapses worse than it would. So we have one of the whistleblowers here, Patrick Berge. I knew Millie was saying get him on as a guest, and then he's here in Austin, so we're going to look at getting him in here. I am not going to post Shadowgate without watching it. It might be a crime in their perspectives to watch it, but you see, we're journalists, so that's always been protected. But now there's no respect for journalism. Censorship's so cool. So they're You've got Julian Assange has, you know, been in solitary confinement for years and almost dead. And I told Millie, I said, listen, I already know all this stuff's real. You need to be careful. Let's go back to Tory, who's been right in the middle of this. Tell folks, I mean, they already know. It's already in the film. They're already watching you. You've already talked about it on air before. Tell people what you did, what you were doing, how you were able with their own back doors to listen to them and what they were up to.
Well, you know, when these private servers collecting everybody's information and compiling it, which, by the way, everyone should be very alarmed because Ancestry DNA was also purchased by the same company. They're being housed over on German servers, Luxembourg, and Ukraine, where they're compiling data and profiles on people to create two split personalities, personas, I would say, your AI persona and then your physical. They control all the information about you from top to bottom, from medical records to birth records to blood type to what you say online, what you do online, what you search, everything. Now, when this was created, it was created as a weapon. And I'm going to tell you what, Alex, this came from something that I had an idea about in the 90s under the Clinton administration, where I wanted to put a worm on floppy drives, right? Because I said that the problem that we have is that there's a lot of leaking from embassies. So when they're copying files, we need to be able to track what files they're doing. And that's what gave birth to Stuxnet. I created that. I helped create that. And that's what caused the whole meltdown years later with the Iranian nuclear plant. I helped create that idea. That was my idea to be able to remotely control through malware. And this is, we're talking like late 90s, right? And so they created an offshore company where they collect all the data from the NSA, keep in mind, housing it also in Ukraine. And I'm telling you, Hillary's emails, they are in the Ukraine because I saw them there. They're sitting on a database right now. Because that is where CrowdStrike did it. The FBI hired CrowdStrike to get images of both the RNC and the DNC server, not to do what? To protect Hillary Clinton so they don't find any other information. And they uploaded it. They know. Everybody knows. The president, I'm sure, I think he even said maybe the Ukraine has it. Because they do. And this is all Brennan's work. And for me, I was one of the first people on that platform. I still had a back door. He collects information on everyone. He collects information on every single person in the Senate, in Congress, reporters. You want to hear how many reporters get leaks and from who? I could tell you leaking Linux is just the beginning. All of them, emails, voicemails, texts. I've seen it all, Alex. There's nothing I haven't seen. And I've been sitting there quietly. And you know when I lost access to it? After Millie Weaver dropped the report on Global Strategies Group. They eradicated their database, and then they revamped it because they still had that back door. It's like an admin back door. So whenever I wanted to, I used my own username and password that I had legal access to. It's not federal property. It was private property. I committed no crime by looking. And all I would do is just listen. And if I tell you what went on in the Munich conference in 2019, you know, everybody's hair would fall out. You'd be plucking your eyes out.
Well, here's the deal. I think you should spill your guts because you're in danger until you do that. I mean, I know you're a smart person, but you either tell people everything you know or you never talk. That's the way to be safe, and I think you should tell people. But
that's what Millie Weaver got arrested for, was putting out a tremendously insightful documentary called ShadowNet, and or what they don't want us to see, or what they don't want us to know, I think is another word, a title for it. Also, but what they've done is create a tremendous offshore privately held mechanism that mirrors the NSA and has information in their own private hands that they can use to blackmail and manipulate the public at large. And it comes from the highest levels of Great Britain down to us here, and it's called PsyOps. So anyway, the next interview is Sean Hannity had with Attorney General Barr, and I just don't think that we're going to get the major indictments that everyone is predicting. But here we go with that interview.
We're late. We have the Attorney General standing by. Governor, great job last night. Tammy, always good to see you. We turn to this breaking news tonight. Major federal law enforcement initiative. It is named Operation Legend. Now, the program leverages key resources from the U.S. government to track down and arrest perpetrators responsible for unsolved murders. Now, it was named after a four-year-old little boy, Legend Taliaferro, who was killed by gunfire while asleep in his bed. And breaking tonight, his suspected killer has now been taken, thankfully, into custody and charged with second-degree murder. Here with more, an exclusive one-on-one interview with the Attorney General of the United States. His first time on Hannity, sir. Thank you for being with us. This is huge.
Hi, Sean.
And thank God, it looks like we got our man.
Well, that's what we believe, and he's been charged with the murder. As you know, with the demonization of the police that has occurred recently, we've seen an upsurge in violence in many of our inner cities. And our response to that has been to work closely with state and local law enforcement who are willing to work closely with us in a number of cities, including Kansas City, to go after these violent criminals and stop this bloodshed. And we called it Operation Legend in honor of this four-year-old boy who was shot. So he became a symbol of the black lives that were being lost in the inner city, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that have been killed with the demonization of the police. And today, I think the message is that in this particular case, our system worked. What happened is a symbol of the fact that the local law enforcement, in this case the Kansas City Police, working closely with the FBI and the U.S. Marshals, were able to find this man and charge him with murder. And that becomes a symbol of what we can do, and we can do it. What's involved here is the will to deal with this violent crime in the inner cities. It can be handled. We need the will.
I paid very close attention to your interview, and I thought, and so did many people, highly viewed with the great one I call Mark Levin on Life, Liberty, and Levin. And you went into detail about, quote, a new form of urban guerrilla warfare and how demonstrations, and again, some are very peaceful protesters. There was universal outrage and shock and horror of the video of George Floyd. That can't happen, Mr. Attorney General, in this country, and I know you agree with that. But hijacking the demonstrations away from some peaceful protesters and provoking violence, we've seen over 2,000 cops injured, 14 now dead, rocks and bottles and bricks and Molotov cocktails, knives, hockey sticks, canes, frozen water bottles. I mean, it's now warfare against cops in this country in some of these cities, sir.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, the legitimate demonstrations, the First Amendment activity, the protests in the wake of Mr. Floyd's death have long since given way to violent attacks, efforts to tear down the system, violent attacks on the police, on federal courts, on police precincts by a small group of radical violent extremists whose agenda has nothing to do with the death of George Floyd or protecting black lives, and everything to do with a very radical agenda and creating chaos and trying to tear down the system.
All right, Mr. Attorney General, stay there. We have a lot to ask you. An update on the Durham report. We want to ask you about this mail-in voting push and other important issues as it relates to the law. We'll get to that more with the Attorney General right after the break. Also, the President today announces what is a historic peace agreement between Israel, United Arab Emirates. Joe Biden, out from his basement bunker, actually tried to take credit for it. When just the opposite is true, I will explain that in a special Hannity mini monologue straight ahead. As we continue our exclusive interview with the Attorney General of the United States, Attorney General Barr. Mr. Attorney General, president commented. You were very clear. By the way, let me first say, you had the patience of Job on steroids and human growth hormone when you went before that clown show in Congress. God bless you for it, because I don't think I have the patience you do, and it was really pretty despicable to me. The president weighed in on Durham. You were very clear in your testimony. The president doesn't tell you what to do. You're independent. President said today that he hopes that the Durham report and that you as attorney general won't be politically correct. I hope that, too. Mr. Attorney General, I spent 3 years unpeeling the layers of an onion in terms of premeditated fraud on a FISA court. You have deleted subpoenaed emails. You have a knowledge we know that they were warned in August of 2016 not to trust that dossier, which was the bulk of information for the FISA warrants. The subsource in January 2017 confirms none of that was true, and it was bar talk. I guess justice, the wheels of justice turn slowly. I feel impatience over it. Can you give us any update?
Yes, Sean. Well, first, as to the political correctness, if I was worried about being politically correct, I wouldn't have joined this administration.
that's actually a good line, too. Okay.
Yeah, well, as I made clear, I'm going to call him as I see him, and that's why I came in. I think I'm in a position to do that. There are two different things going on, Sean. One, I've said that the American people need to know what actually happened. We need to get the story of what happened in 2016 and 17 now out. That will be done. The second aspect of this is, if people cross the line, if people involved in that activity violated the criminal law, they will be charged. And John Durham is an independent man, highly experienced, and his investigation is pursuing apace. There was some delay because of COVID, but I'm satisfied with the progress. And I've said there are going to be developments, significant developments, before the election. But we're not doing this on the election schedule. We're aware of the election. We're not going to do anything inappropriate before the election. But we're not being dictated to by this schedule. What's dictating the timing of this are developments in the case. And there will be developments. As tomorrow, there will be a development in the case. It's not an earth-shattering development, but it is an indication that things are moving along at the proper pace as dictated by the facts in this investigation.
Mr. Attorney General, you once said this isn't about a report, this is a criminal investigation. You were very clear that the President of the United States was spied on deep into his presidency, you said. Now, based on what we know, and Andrew McCabe said it, and Sally Yates said it, and Rod Rosenstein and Sally Yates would not sign those warrants today. We know that the FBI knew, beyond any doubt, that it not only was that dossier, without the dossier, Yates and McKay both say there's no FISA warrant, that they knew it was false. They were told it was false. The law even requires them, as soon as they know that it was false, to go back to the FISA court. Based on what we know on the record, I just see premeditated fraud against the court, and I wouldn't even lie before Judge Judy, Mr. Attorney General, because I think they'd throw away the key in my case.
Well, when we feel we can prove a crime beyond a reasonable doubt, it will be charged. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Let me ask you about mail-in voting. I paid very close attention, again, to your interview with Mark. And those that want to experiment with different ways of voting, they want to do this now with 82 days to go before the election. I don't have confidence in government to fulfill many promises at all. Doesn't it lend itself to great opportunity for fraud?
Yes, I think it is grossly irresponsible to be doing what the Democratic Party is doing now. We've had very close races in recent history. The country is divided. If anything, we should be assuring the integrity of our elections so that government going forward will be legitimate and will be accepted as legitimate. The idea of conducting elections by wholesale mail-in ballots is reckless and wrong. Everyone knows what has happened in these cases. We're not talking about voters going, requesting a ballot specifically, saying who they are, proving who they are, and then submitting a ballot by mail. We're talking about mail-outs to everyone on the voting list. And every experience with that has had thousands and thousands of ballots floating around, not just the state but the country. I have friends who haven't lived in California in 21 years who receive ballots. There are ballots left in boxes in apartment buildings. Ballots are people who used to live at addresses are delivered to those addresses. They can be filled out by anybody. This is reckless, and it could create serious questions about the integrity of the election. And to do this when there are a closely divided country as we are, is playing with fire, in my view.
Mr. Attorney General, you talked about the Seattle Police Chief, Carmen Best. I felt, wow, what an amazing example of service and dedication to her community, and how she literally had to resign because of this defund effort, and that she was not given the ability to use the training that all police officers have. We know how to disperse crowds, and it's usually tear gas, it's usually pepper spray involved, but they've taken these tools away from officers. I believe it's now created a very dangerous situation for all of them. I don't think it takes a lot of an MIT or a Harvard degree to figure out this is not going to end well for a lot of these cities. What do you say to those that are demonizing the police, these groups? You've talked about the group Black Lives Matter. You talked about the group Antifa or Antifa. And those that believe in Joe Biden, I won't bring you into politics, but said, you know, they've become the enemy. Kamala Harris says she's happy with the LAPD defunding the police. I don't think this is going to end well, sir. I think lives will be lost as a result.
Well, lives are being lost in violent crime. And the demonization of the police. You know, Carmen Best is an example of the highly competent and professional and dedicated police professionals we have in this country. We're blessed with that throughout the country. They're excellent. And she is a great example of it. And we should be supporting them. And being a police officer is the hardest job in the United States. We're asking people to go into very dangerous situations, to have jobs that are terribly wearing on them as individuals and on their families, to go into potentially deadly situations not knowing what will happen. And we have to continue to attract the best people into these jobs. And unless we support the police, we're not going to have a police force. These communities are not going to have the safety. Now, a lot of the liberals will buy themselves out of that. They'll go, you know, to resort towns and so forth, and they'll escape the consequences of it. But the people in the inner cities won't. Their lives will be destroyed. Their opportunity will be they won't have the opportunity they otherwise would have. Their schools will be overrun by gangs. That's not caring about black lives. And people talk about implicit racism or systemic racism. The racism in this country, look no further than our public education system. That's a racist system maintained by the Democratic Party and the teachers' union, keeping inner-city kids in failing schools instead of putting the resources in the hands of the parents to choose the schools to send their kids to. That's empowering kids. That's giving them a future.
Every child, they are our nation's national treasure. Last question. You did talk about the political environment, and an environment where people have been trying to impeach Donald Trump from day one. We've now seen the criminalization of political differences. For example, the IG made referrals about lying about top officials in the FBI. And nothing happens. There was no pre-dawn raids with 29 guys in tactical gear and frogmen over those process crimes, nor were there CNN cameras, because those guys haven't been arrested. I worry that America is descending into a two-tier justice system. Am I wrong?
No, I think it's the right worry, and that's the reason I came back into government. We can't let it happen. But here's the thing, Sean. The way out of this, the way out of the politicization and the corruption of the justice system, where it's used as a political weapon by one party against another, is not to deliver tit for tat. It's not to use the tactics of the other side. It's to uphold the rule of law, use the right standard, and that's what I'm trying to do.
You just heard him say, no tit for tat, so they're going to water down this whole thing, give us some kind of report with a few low-level indictments. That's about it. Thank you for listening. God bless everyone.